Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are on day 136 of our three-year journey through the Bible, one day at a time, and we are working our way through God's plan and the construction of the tabernacle. Exodus 38 today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the beautiful picture of grace, of Christ, of salvation, of your church, of your plan of salvation and your purposes for us. All of this you've given to us in your tabernacle. And so we pray that you would show us Christ, show us our calling, and help us to worship you better and live for you more faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 38. He made the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood. 5 cubits was its length, and 5 cubits its breadth. It was square, and 3 cubits was its height. He made horns for it on its 4 corners. Its horns were of one piece with it, and he overlaid it with bronze. And he made all the utensils of the altar, the pots, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans. He made all its utensils of bronze. And he made for the altar a grating, a network of bronze under its ledge extending halfway down. He cast 4 rings on the 4 corners of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze, and he put the poles through the rings on the sides of the altar to carry it with them. He made it hollow with boards. He made the basin of bronze and its stand of bronze from the mirrors of the ministering women who ministered in the entrance of the tent of meeting. And he made the court. For the south side, the hangings of the court were of fine twined linen, 100 cubits. Their 20 pillars and their 20 bases were of bronze, but the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the north side, there were hangings of 100 cubits. Their 20 pillars and their 20 bases were of bronze, but the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits with 10 pillars and their 10 bases. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the front to the east, 50 cubits. The hangings for the one side of the grate were 15 cubits and their 3 pillars and their 3 bases. And so for the other side, on both sides of the gate of the court, were hangings of 15 cubits, with their pillars and their 3 bases. All the hangings around the court were of fine twined linen. And the bases for the pillars were of bronze, but the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. The overlaying of their capitals was also of silver, and all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. And the screen for the gate of the court was embroidered with needlework in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. It was 20 cubits long and 5 cubits high in its breadth, corresponding to the hangings of the court. And their pillars were 4 in number. Their 4 bases were of bronze, and their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their capitals and their fillets of silver. And all the pegs for the tabernacle and for the court all around were of bronze. These are the records of the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were recorded at the commandment of Moses, the responsibility of the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and designer and embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. All the gold that was used for the work, in all the construction of the sanctuary, the gold from the offering was 29 talents and 730 shekels by the shekel of the sanctuary. The silver from those of the congregation who were recorded was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels by the shekel of the sanctuary. A beka a head, that is, half a shekel by the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone who was listed in the records from 20 years old and upward, for 603,550 men. The 100 talents of silver were the casting of the bases of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil, 100 bases for the 100 talents, a talent a base. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their capitals and made fillets for them. The bronze that was offered was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. With it, he made the bases for the entrance of the tent of meeting, the bronze altar and the bronze grating for it, and all the utensils of the altar, the bases around the court, and the bases of the gate of the court, and all the pegs of the tabernacle, and all the pegs around the court. That is Exodus chapter 38 in the English Standard Version, and as always, we're using ESV.org for our on-screen text display. So we get to finish the tabernacle today, and we get a review of who's in charge of the tabernacle, and who built the tabernacle, supervised its construction, and then how much was given for the contribution of the tabernacle, which is pretty astounding, the numbers of what was given. But we see first, the first thing that's described here is a bronze altar. And the bronze altar is made of acacia wood, just like the Ark of the Covenant, just like the Table of Showbread, just like the altar of incense. It's made of acacia wood, but it's overlaid with gold, and a pretty thick layer of gold. This is not just your really thin film that you might get on something that's like gold leaf covered. This is hammered gold that overlays it, and it's substantial, and we know that from the amount of gold that was donated. So the lampstand itself was solid gold. The cherubim on top of the mercy seat of the ark were solid gold, and so much of this is bronze here. Actually, it's a bronze altar, not a gold altar, but everything inside is gold and everything out here is bronze, which is, there's a key distinction there between what's going on inside the house of God and what's going on just outside the house of God. So this is a bronze altar, and it's built for sacrifice. So there would be a fire inside. So you have to have that latticed network of bronze around the sides halfway up, as was described, as well as the grate on the top, because you have to have air to flow through for the fire, and you have to put the meat, the sacrifices, on top. And so this is where you make your sacrifices. And again, to just give you an overview of where we are in terms of this, the worshipers would come in. Again, in the Old Testament days, the regular worshipers didn't have entrance into the tabernacle itself. They could only come in the courtyard. When they came in the courtyard, they always brought a sacrifice, and they would go to the priest at the bronze altar, and the priest at the bronze altar would offer up the sacrifice. And there were different rules for different kinds of sacrifices. We'll get into that in the book of Leviticus, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on that today. But there was that, and then there's the bronze laver that we'll get to in just a minute, because the priest couldn't walk into the tabernacle covered in the blood of the sacrifice. They would have to clean themselves off of that before they went in to God's presence. But this is the outer courtyard. We have the altar where the sacrifices are made, the laver where cleansing happens, and then this outer court, which is large. I mean, 100 cubits long. That's about 150 feet, maybe 200 feet long. 50 cubits wide. That's 75, 80, maybe 90 feet wide, depending upon how long the cubit was exactly. A cubit, you see the key on there, says 1.5 feet. That's an approximation. I told you this in an earlier devotion, but the technical definition of a cubit in the ancient world was from the elbow to the fingertip of whoever the ruler is. So on me, because I'm 6'6" and I have big long arms, from here to here is a whole lot more than 1.5 feet. I haven't measured my cubit, but it's definitely more than 1.5 feet. But most people in the ancient world were shorter, and so maybe 1.5 feet to 20 inches, 18 to 20 inches, somewhere in there is about what a cubit was. The entrance has that curtain, so there's 15 cubits on either side, and then there's the curtain in the middle. You have to come in. There's only one way to come in, and it's through the curtain. And as soon as you come in, you're confronted by the altar and your need for a sacrifice. And there's 100 pillars all around. So there's each one of these has two. So there's 20, 40, 50, but then there's double that, 100. And so that's or the bases that are made out of silver. That's what the silver's used for. So it's a pretty awesome tent, and this would have all been, these are nomadic people. They're moving through the wilderness for 40 years. So for 40 years, this would have all been packed up and put into packs, and it was in the charge of the Levites, which we'll get to later as to which Levitical group was in charge of which aspect of the tabernacle and what that means. But for a New Testament application, I want to share a little gospel insight into the tabernacle with you. We who belong to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are priests of God. And that means we have access. So for our gathered worship on the Lord's Day, what's going on inside the actual tabernacle itself, and even in the Holy of Holies, that is very representative of what is going on in our gathered worship, where we meet with God through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit illuminates so that we can see by faith. Jesus is the bread of life. He's there to nourish us. Our prayers are being lifted up as incense. The throne of grace, it's a throne of mercy where Jesus has shed his blood so that we have access. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, even that inner veil was torn in two from top to bottom. So all who belong to Christ, this is emblematic, symbolic of our Sunday morning, Lord's Day morning, gather worship. Outside, Revelation would tell us that the courtyard outside is given over to the nations. So this is the gospel outreach of the church to the nations. And we have a message for the nations. And the message for the nations is your sins need to be forgiven and your uncleanness needs to be cleansed. That's the gospel we need to present to the nations. It's not, you know, if you want a happy life, come to Jesus for your great life enhancement plan, or here's seven steps to a happier marriage through the right biblical principles applied. No, they need their sins forgiven, and they need to be cleansed of their uncleanness, of their filthiness. The guilt and pollution of sin must be removed, and that's only through Jesus Christ. So we present Jesus Christ to the world as the one who removes the guilt of sin and removes the stain of our pollution. So that's what we present to the world. So the tabernacle gives us a picture of the worship of God's people, as well as of our outreach to the world. And that outreach to the world is not always well received. It's why in Revelation 11, the Gentiles trample the outer courtyard of the temple. They're not happy to hear the gospel and to receive it. So I want to take a quick look before we close with the contributions that were given, because it's pretty impressive. The gold, 29 talents of gold and 730 shekels. Again, that's for the things that are inside the tabernacle itself. A talent, it depends on what measure you look at and which reference you get. Somewhere like 50 to 75 pounds could be as much as that for a talent. It's pounds and pounds of gold for one talent. And so that's how much gold is being brought, like a lot of gold, hundreds of pounds of gold are being brought. That's why I'm saying when these things are covered in gold, it's not just a little gold leaf. It's hammered work of gold that's fairly substantial. Again, these things need to be moved around, and so they need to survive that, and they're gonna keep that glow, that luster inside. So they need to be polished and shined up regularly. That's the job of the Levites. And then the silver for the bases of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil. And then you have the bronze for the entrance to the tent of meeting and the bronze altar and the grating and the utensils of the altar. So the actual, where you're making sacrifice and you're using utensils to cook the sacrifice, you're not going to use those of gold. That's really not very practical. Bronze is much better. But also notice that the world, right, gets the bronze, and God's people get the gold. So you see of Christ, first of all, you see a glory, but then as you come in to know him for real, you see a far greater glory because you know him as your Savior. So anyway, many great pictures in the tabernacle. I hope you've enjoyed taking a look at it. We'll be returning to the tabernacle as we in continuing books as we talk about different sacrifices that were made in the Levites and how the tabernacle was organized for transport and all that kind of stuff. But it's a great picture to us of Christ and the gospel and the church and our outreach to the world, and a lot of symbolism there for us to see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who fulfills your law perfectly. Even the details of the tabernacle are fulfilled in Christ, our Savior and Lord. Thank you that we have forgiveness of our sins. Thank you that we have cleansing from all unrighteousness and defilement of the flesh through Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. Thank you that we have access to your throne of grace through Jesus, the great high priest. Thank you that we have nourishment for our soul through Jesus, the bread of life. Thank you that we have illumination to understand your word and walk in the light of your word through your Holy Spirit, whom Christ sends to dwell in every believer. Thank you that you hear our prayers offered up in the name of Jesus. And thank you that your throne is a throne of grace because of Jesus, our Savior, who sits at your right hand. We love you. We thank you. Help us to worship you, serve you, live for you, and tell others about you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to move on to Romans chapter 6. So I hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.